investigation would benefit President Trump.
The best thing that can happen for everybody is for a full and thorough and credible investigation that reveals everything.
Remember, you can find us online anytime at usaradio.com.
Staples knows that when the leave behinds for your sales call get left behind at your office, it's time. When you need to print 30 pages and you're 300 miles from the office, it's time. And when the intern packed the Harrington file, not the Farrington file.
Oh, my bad.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when you can count on Staples. Access your files from email, the cloud, or USB, and then print, copy, fax, or scan them, and get back to business fast. Visit your nearby Staples. It's pro time.
It's still pretty surreal.
Republican Congressman Rodney Davis continues to reflect on the terrifying moments of last week when a gunman opened fire on members of Congress as they practiced for a baseball game.
Those of us who are the majority in this country, who want Republicans and Democrats to work together, let's stand up to the rhetoric that we see that leads to this polarization.
Davis speaking there on Fox News Sunday, saying he's urging Republicans and Democrats to work together and to stand up to the hate. The Illinois Republican was on the field when James Hodgkinson opened fire Wednesday morning, wounding five people, including Congressman Steve Scalise. Scalise, by the way, is now in serious condition, upgraded from critical over the weekend. Three men behind bars for a huge avocado heist near Los Angeles. Here's more on the story from Jason Campadonia.
The three Ventura County men were arrested last week and are now former employees of Mission Produce. Investigators say the men were busted for selling the avocados illegally for cash. The company estimates the value of the stolen produce to be more than $300,000, and the theft went on for months. Apparently, the crooks' customers were told that the sales were legit. I'm Jason Campadonia.
Brooks Koepka is the winner of the 117th U.S. Open at Erin Hills, Wisconsin, his first career major title. Meanwhile, Cars 3 is the winner at the weekend box office, the latest film in the Disney animated series, taking in $53.5 million. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat. No, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Take a look at our local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. 84 outside right now, and a little humid, slight chance of showers early this afternoon. Otherwise cloudy, high approaching the mid to upper 80s. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms before midnight, showers likely after that. Should have some gusty winds also. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, gradually clearing up. High near 84. Cloudy on the overnight, low in the 60s. Sunny on Wednesday and Thursday. Thursday night, getting back into possible showers again. Into Friday and Saturday. And well, we'll see how fast those systems move through. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077.
That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. Chef Bill here, your host, Jake's Restaurant in Flemington here. I've been serving the public here for over 26 years. It's great to be aboard this morning. How about that on the news that we just heard? The avocados have become something that, let's say, less than honorable people can make money on. It's very, very much in demand. Everybody's using them. They're good for you, and I guess nature can only make so many of them, so be careful out there, but enjoy them. They are getting more costly, though. I'm not, and I guess being costly is not as bad as being in short supply, like some of the lettuces were this past early spring. Anyway, this week, let's see what's coming up. This week we celebrate the onion ring, favorite snack food of most of us. Anybody who likes onions, even if you don't like raw onions, most people will enjoy a cooked onion. And later, I'll give you a couple of ideas on maybe just a onion ring 101 here to check out how you can make your own. I know you can buy them frozen and heat them up in the oven. You know, it's if you're into deep or shallow frying at all, it's well worth it to make your own. And besides a snack or a side dish, I mean, it's the, you know, when I started in the business, all the steaks got onion rings, at least three nice big onion rings. But sometimes they're stacked, served as an appetizer, and it's good finger food. And then we'll talk about pork, going back to an early dinner I did, and just some favorite ideas to do, primarily with the pork loin, although very versatile. Largely consumed meat, except for Jewish and Muslim religions, of course, forbid pork, but the rest of the world does enjoy it, and so it's a favorite food of Americans, I know that, and of course Europeans, the charcuterie, the art of curing and smoking and preserving was based primarily, it's a French word, to preserve the meat. And now we do it more for flavor reasons. With refrigeration now, the salting and curing isn't really essential anymore, but we do like those flavors. And charcuterie primarily was pork, although many other meats, even vegetables and seafoods, fall into that category. Charcuterie is, when you're buying something, you can make your own, which is nice if you like those kind of challenges. Have to have a little patience, and there's some technique and sometimes some equipment involved, but, you know, even making sausages. But in the summertime, sometimes a nice light meal, you'll see often on restaurant menus now, a charcuterie plate or meats and cheeses, and really, as a convenience food, I know we think of all the other drive-through things. I mean, grabbing a little variety of nice cheeses and some cured or smoked meats, a great bread, a little bit of greens if you like, and takes well with mustards too, also with fruits, nice condiments that are relatively fat-free. So I guess that's a trade-off. Some of the cured meats and pâtés have a little bit more fat in them than maybe we'd like, but they are tasty and you don't need that much. So, but we'll look at the pork loin this week. Good, economical, versatile cut that we can... you can cook every night if you want. So, onion rings. How do we make onion rings? You know, we made them. There's a couple of ways. Many times people will do a beer batter or even a tempura, which is kind of a little quicker process. You have the batter made. Your onion rings are ready to go. You have your hot oil in and just dip them one by one into the batter. And when you're frying, again, you see this caution with many recipes, don't have your pot too full of oil and don't crowd the fry pot. You need a thermometer steadily, unless you have a deep fry appliance that does that for you with a thermostat on it. Make sure that frying oil doesn't get too hot. You don't want it to get too cold. That's the bad rap that fried food gets. When it's too cold, the oil absorbs too much and the food is greasy. And, of course, when it's too hot, you get a burned product. So when we were taught, when we were doing onion rings, instead of peeling the onion, and you get a nice large white onion. If you like vidalias, of course, you want to. Those are a little flatter, a little bit harder to get to handle, to get rings out of, because you really need to cut the onion when it's whole. So now you've got that complication of something round and rolling around on a cutting board that's flat. If you're very worried about the onion rolling or cutting yourself, of course, fold up a kitchen towel, clean kitchen towel, and use that to rest the onion on. Now, we don't peel the onions before we slice them in the rings. Oftentimes, people might do that, but it's what happens is sometimes when you're peeling them, you might, your best rings, of course, are the large ones, and if you don't have that perfect circle there, I guess you could fry them up and call it an onion U, right? But we like to leave the skin on, and you'll start with the stem end, not the root end. The root end is with a little, you'll see the little dried roots coming out. Sometimes that end, also the little center there is something we wouldn't use. But you make your thick slices right through the skin of the onion. And then you can separate the onion in the rings. You want to cut them at least 3/8 of an inch thick. You can cut them a little bit thinner if you like. Go easy. A nice slicing motion, so you cut them evenly. Make them as thick or as thin as you like. And you're going to pop out the centers and then start separating into rings. Now, the outer one that has the skin on, at that point, it's very easy to peel off the skin so you don't lose that nice big ring. Now, the centers, of course, you'll save for chopped onions for a sauce or a soup or sauté, anything else. But you want the rings large enough so when you're coating them that it leaves at least some hole through the center, I guess you'd call it. So now when we're breading them, and there's a couple of ways. You could do the standard flour and egg wash and breadcrumbs. And I like panko for a procedure like this. And what we do is double bread them. Now you need a sheet pan with maybe some wax paper on it to rest these on. But by double breading, we mean we're going to flour the onion ring and into the egg wash, and then into the breadcrumbs, then quickly dip the onion ring back in the egg wash, and again in the panko crumbs. Panko is going to give you a nice, crunchy, larger crumb crust. Commercially, or, well, years ago, the way I first did them, we had a batter, like a savory, meaning not a pancake batter, something that's not sweetened. And the nice thing about the batter is you don't really need to flour the onion first. You're going to put it in this batter, and you make it fairly thin, and then into a breadcrumb, which could be a fine breadcrumb, seasoned, whatever you like. Again, the double breading process. You roll it in the crumbs and then back in the batter quickly. Don't let them sit in the batter because then the crumbs will fall off. Back in the breadcrumbs and then spread them out on the tray. And they're fine. You can do these ahead. Let them sit for a little while. I'll do the same thing if you want to do actually something cool, deep-fried asparagus. The only difference with the asparagus is we like to get the asparagus wet first, just rinse it off anyway, so that water will help the flour to stick, and then into your egg wash and your breadcrumbs, and then back in the egg wash, double breading. And you do this with raw asparagus, and if you've never had fried asparagus, it's pretty good. Again, you'd probably shallow fry, you know, you need maybe a little a skillet because the asparagus is a little bit longer, whereas onion rings are round. But double breading, we've done mushrooms this way. Mushrooms are kind of tricky because they will shrink up inside that crust, and then you have to watch when you eat them you don't burn your mouth. So we kind of like big portobello slices for that. But the onion rings, breaded, then you can fry them a few at a time, keep them warm. If you're doing the ale batter or beer batter or tempura, a little bit simpler. We will flour them first before we put them in the batter. Again, you need something for that batter to stick to. Make sure you drain off a lot of the excess batter and then just drop them a few at a time in the hot oil. They'll float right away. You can turn them just like you're turning donuts. Make sure they're brown on each side. And as I say, you're going to do them in batches. Keep them warm in at least 150 to maybe 200 degree oven would probably be better. It's probably as low as the oven goes. And just keep them warm and enjoy them. We've got a break for a couple of messages here. We're at the quarter hour. And we'll be back at the table and start looking at the our pork loin, Chef Bill's table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambi's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambi's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambi's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
If I can reach the stars.
All right, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill's table, talking. I'm going to go into pork, I guess primarily the pork loin, although this time of year with barbecues, ribs are always the big item, right? I love the spare ribs and the baby back ribs, even country ribs. So pork, I know the people, they remember the ad campaign, The Other White Meat. And pork, of course, is trying to compete against chicken. And actually, it's not. Pork's not really a white meat, although it can cook up fairly light color. There is some myoglobin, iron substance in there, and usually something white, say a veal or white meat chicken, a turkey breast, would not have that in there. So we'd like to do is, of course, we want our essential amino acids, we want our proteins. Red meat, of course, then you're getting the full volley there, but you're getting maybe a lot of cholesterol and saturated fats. Now, pork carries some saturated fat also, but very lean. We've kind of bred the hogs to be leaner now, and, of course, chefs aren't too happy about that. They say, oh, you've bred out all the flavor. We need some more fat. We're going to have to brine. We have to do this, or go to a specialty breed. But really, for every day, it's we produce a lot of it. It's economical. Often becomes the substitute when beef prices go high. The substitute is naturally pork, and you will get good nutrition from it. Just going to be careful about the fat. So don't know bacon's popular, pork belly. It seems the more we know about what we shouldn't eat, the things that fall into that category become all of a sudden extremely popular. So safety also. I mean, decades ago, it was thought, well, you have to cook pork to 160, 170 degrees. You've got to kill trichinosis, and that was true if your hogs were feeding on untreated garbage, and that's where they get the bad rap. You know, the animals, oh, they're dirty, they do this, they eat that. And our modern methods now, grain-fed or grain-finished, there's no danger for that. Now, it does so happen, though, that pork does taste at its best. I think the flavor is released when the meat is fully cooked. And I don't mean overcooked. I know braising and smoking and procedures like that, of course, you're cooking for hours more to tenderize and flavor, but really a slight pale pink, what I would call a medium well, is not only safe, it's very tasty, and it keeps a little bit of the moisture. And I think sometimes with the leaner cuts, get the bad rap because, oh, they're too dry, they dry out, they don't, not enough fat in them, you know, that's our dilemma. So we end up either adding fat to the outside or somehow compensating for that. We want that, I guess the moisture to stay in. But, if you like that, sausages are good. Sausages have a high percentage of fat. In the making of them, of course, a lot of it cooks out. I know when I cook a simple Italian sausage, you lose about a third of the product. You know, there's always that, all the oils in the pan. You've got some water loss by evaporation. And so the finished product, you know, I'm not sure how much fat, a fair amount of it melts away. Some of it doesn't. That's what gives it, of course, a nice texture. So with the loin, I remember early on, I was, when I first started cooking in restaurants, we had our steaks and our prime rib and you're butchering everything. But Sunday we had roast pork. We had a few, I guess you'd call them family dinner specials. So we had chicken and biscuits. We had roast pork. We'd put a top round roast in for just some nice thin sliced roast beef. But the pork loin always intrigued me. It always smelled good. It's a mild flavored meat, but it does take well to aggressive seasonings and flavors. And it matches up with fruits. It matches up with chilies. You can go so many ways you can go with that almost blank canvas, right? So the chef and I, we were going to go to a concert. We were double dating. I said, I'll come over. I'll cook dinner. And although I'd cooked at home, I'd never done a full-blown roast in a home oven. We do them in the commercial ovens. It's one thing. So I picked a bone-in pork roast. Went out and bought it. And, you know, like 3 or 4 pound roast. You got the bones there. It provides a nice roasting. It's like a built-in roasting rack. And you need that 20, 25 minutes a pound. Let the meat rest. And the nice thing about a bone-in pork loin is you can slice it thick or you can slice thin slices, whatever you like. You're slicing thick, you're basically getting a pork chop that is not browned on the outside. And truthfully, again, for tenderness, for keeping the moisture in there, I like roasting the whole rack, if you will, or the loin. Got to be cautious with the pork loin. Of course, there's a rib end and a loin end. With beef, of course, we separate those two components, two primal cuts. And with the pork, we do not. The loin is this long. It's the whole back of the animal. And you've got the end that's more toward the rib, a little fattier. And you've got the nice, that's where, your baby back ribs come off the pork loin. Your spare ribs or country ribs are further down, a little coarser meat, takes a little bit more connective tissue, longer cooking. Baby back ribs cook relatively quickly. And the thing with pork, is economically, the money is all on, is mostly on the ribs, where beef, you know, the money's on the steak meat, the rib and the loin, and the bones really don't end up having too much. The big dinosaur bones you see in some of the barbecue places may not have that much meat on them. Pork, on the other hand, you'll spend more per pound on ribs than you will on loin. So I think the boneless loin is a great cut to use. So anyway, so I'm roasting this pork loin, and really came out well. And it's still a favorite. I know when I'm in Italian restaurants, we had what was called the Arista, which means the best Tuscan pork loin. A couple of ways to do that. And I would buy the bone and loin, but I would take the meat off the bone. I'd still use the rib rack as a roasting rack, and actually that's kind of a treat because you get some baby backs when it's done, right? But I would either make a slit under the, not on the fat side, on the underside, and make a paste of some basil and garlic. You can use fresh rosemary. Even do it a little porchetta style if you want to put a little bit of a couple of orange segments in there, or lemon peel sliced very thinly, lemon zest. But you flavor this paste, and I would make a slit and stuff that mixture, rub it inside, and then rub all over the outside. So, and if you can do that the night before, it's even better. You're not really curing the pork, but you're really letting that seasoning get in there a little bit. Then, of course, after you've put the slit in there, of course, you have to tie it up. You tie it up at intervals with your cotton twine, like you would a salami or anything else, and make sure that it's going to, of course, it's going to keep it together and help you carve. It's going to roast evenly. Another technique, and I think the Times last week did it with a beef tenderloin, where you want to make almost a roulade, and with the pork loin, I would start fat side down. You make your incision, and you try to keep the meat to a thickness of about an inch. And you're kind of rolling, if you're right-handed, the knife's in your right hand, you're kind of rolling the meat toward your left and slicing at the same time. So it opens up, it's kind of a rectangle. Then if you rub it with your paste or your seasonings and roll it back up, now you've got this nice pinwheel effect when you slice across it, and the flavor really permeates the roast. And again, fairly hot oven. It's 20-25 minutes a pound. You can roast at 350. If you like at the end, you can crank it up and get a little bit more browning on it. Smaller roast is going to not brown as much. Sometimes what we do, if it's less than 3 pounds, we like to brown it in the frying pan first. Get that nice caramelization. It's not to seal in any juices. It's really just for that nice caramelized flavor. Nice thing about pork roast like that, the loin, it's very good sliced as sandwich meat. Sliced thinly, you know, after it's been chilled, and especially if it is flavored like the Arista, that becomes kind of a charcuterie item. It's something you've made yourself. It's not really smoked, not really cured, but very flavorful. And those leftover slices, I believe in Tuscany, it's, you know, normally served at just at room temperature anyway. Not really with a sauce. I know the sauce for a pan-roasted pork, one of my favorites, is deglaze the pan with dry vermouth. Nice fortified white wine. Has many herbs and botanicals in it, so you've got a lot of flavor there. Deglaze with the white wine, and then you can just add, if you have some broth, fine. If you've got a mirepoix on the pan, of course, you've got some flavor there. You could even add water just to make sure that, you know, some salt and pepper and seasoning go in there. But meat broth, you could use, as I say, chicken, or you could use a combination of maybe chicken and beef. Most people not have pork stock hanging around. But a nice, relatively thin sauce doesn't really need to be thickened that much. Really what you're doing is just spooning the juices over the meat. So your pork loin, boneless loin, economical, as I said, you'll spend more on bones than you will on the meat. So buying the boneless loin is normally very cost effective. Even it could be even cheaper than buying pork chops. When we come back from our break, we've got a break for news. We'll look at the other things we can do with the boneless loin of pork. Oh, and I may, if I have time, the if you've heard of anything called a can-can pork chop, we were running them for a while at Jake's, and got to give you that story anyway. You can look it up, but I'll go briefly through. It's pretty cool. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Tensions rising between the U.S. and Russia as Russian officials are calling the U.S. shoot down of a Syrian warplane on Sunday an act of aggression. Here's correspondent Bill Zimfer.
Russia's deputy foreign minister is quoted by the TASS news agency as saying not only was the U.S. action an act of defiance and an act of aggression, it was also an act of assistance to terrorists. The Syrian jet was shot down Sunday after reportedly bombing U.S.-backed forces battling ISIS fighters near Raqqa.
British Prime Minister Theresa May condemning a terror attack last night on Muslim worshippers as sickening and evil.
Hatred and evil of this kind will never succeed.
One person killed, eight others injured after a man in a van plows into pedestrians as they were leaving a mosque after prayers. The driver now in custody. This is USA Radio News.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I'm 51 years old, and 6 months ago, I started taking Andro 400 to increase my testosterone. Since then, I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger. And now my wife tells me I have to take Andro 400.
Hi, this is Ron Johnson from Utah. After 10 weeks of taking Andro 400, I lost 13 pounds, and my waist went from 36 to 33. That was 8 years ago. I continue to take Andro 400, and I've maintained my weight at 172. Gained muscle and energy. I'm 63 now and feel better than I have in 30 years.
Andro 400, the natural way to increase testosterone, lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel great. Try Andro 400, the safe, effective, affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill's Table. We go through with our pork loin. So when you're buying a pork loin, so if you get a bone-in pork loin, most of the time the tenderloin will be removed. If you get a whole pork loin, you get that advantage of the tenderloin. If the loin chop is bone-in with the tenderloin, from the loin end, it's called oftentimes a pork T-bone or a pork porterhouse. Kind of give it that more of that beef terminology now rather than something related to poultry. Pork porterhouse, of course, for a nice, again, alternative. We've offered it many times, a pork rib chop with a little, not too much bone on it. French, it's mostly meat, but a 14-ounce. I mean, just to compete or offer an alternative to the big strip steak or the big rib steak. And again, you know, you're getting some saturated fat, but really not quite what you'd get with a well-marbled beefsteak. At the other end, the rib, oftentimes those are where we like to grill the rib chop because there is a little bit more fat in it. What I would say if you're buying boneless, and you'll see this now, actually I know the cuts available to me, I mean, I prefer to cut my own, but you could call it a pork ribeye. So if you think of a beef ribeye, you've got that, what they call the rib cap. You've got a couple of muscles that start to appear at the rib end as you go work your way toward the front of toward the shoulder. And the rib cap, of course, very, very tender. You'll see it on the pork loin. It'd actually be a little bit darker, usually, than the center of the loin. And that's some good stuff. Now, we, you know, of course, flatten out for a schnitzel. Very good. But that's where you want to take a nice, thick pork ribeye. Again, if you're not really needing to have the chop cooked on the bone, because probably if you had a thick chop like that, it would probably be almost a two-bone chop from that ribeye, that rib section. It's going to, you know, that's where your baby back, essentially you're attaching a couple of baby back ribs to the chop. And that's always kind of a nice treat. But economically, a nice thick pork ribeye, we've done it, I think for a while the Pork Council was calling the boneless loin America's cut. We would take the center of the loin, the more uniform part, and trim it of all the surface fat, and it would be a round shape, kind of like a filet mignon. We would cut them thick, like you see a thick filet mignon, and don't really need to wrap them in bacon, but we would peppercorn or pan roast those and serve it with, you could serve it with your mustard sauce. You can make your brandy peppercorn cream. Very tasty, and again, a little bit lighter flavor than a beefsteak, but certainly probably more flavor than a filet mignon. Filet doesn't have any fat in it, but also not a whole lot of flavor. So a pork ribeye, if I was doing them on the grill, I would cut them thick, and instead of doing smaller pieces, which, I mean, again, if you want a paillard, something cooked quickly, that's fine, but you want that nice caramelized crust on it, do thicker pieces and then let them rest. Again, your temperature does not have to be that 165 or, you know, well done. You're going to have what's called carryover cooking. And you have this, whether you're broiling or grilling thicker pieces of meat or seafood, or in the case of roasts, you have it when you take the roast out of the oven. The roast, of course, the carryover could raise the internal temperature by at least 5 degrees or so. And even on a thick steak or let's say our boneless pork ribeye, you can pull the product off the grill when it's, you know, maybe 150, 155 degrees. It's going to keep cooking, and the juices are going to settle, and don't be afraid of a light tinge of pink. It's not going to hurt you. Commercially raised pork, totally safe, and we don't worry about things that people worried about years ago. As I said, rare pork, medium rare pork, to me, I mean, not too much flavor. Whereas with beefsteak, of course, you get more flavor when it's rare. The pork, really, the flavor opens up when it gets more toward that fully cooked state. But if you have these thick steaks, then you can slice them. So if you're not serving one per person, this way you're handling less pieces, your timing, you've got a little time to get your other ingredients for your dinner ready or do some plating, some presentation. And plus, when they're thick like that, if you have any left over, again, slicing them cold for sandwiches, or if you have a sauce, slice it thin and serve it like roast pork. I know the favorite, it's been become our favorite, you always thought of the Philly cheesesteak, but I think the pork sandwich that's served in Philadelphia is superior. With the roast pork leg and the juice, the broccoli rabe or the spinach, I like the rabe, but I'll take either one. And the aged provolone, I mean, to me, that cheesesteaks are good, and you can vary, you know, your quality of meat and cheeses, but that pork, we would serve it at Jake's, called a pork dip or a Philly-style pork dip. Can't go wrong. So if you have pork loin and you have some left over, pork and greens marry very, very well together. So if you're serving some of the greens as your side dish, all the better. And then, again, if you have some left over, very easy to make a great sandwich from either a roast loin of pork or a thick pork ribeye. Now, another popular dish at the restaurant, we do our schnitzel called a Jaeger schnitzel. It has a mushroom red wine sauce with it. We kind of, you know, interpret it our own way. Normally, a Jaeger would be maybe pork cubes that could be floured or breaded and served with a similar sauce. But we like to, you know, we're in America. We can do whatever we want, right? Just try to respect the product. So our schnitzel, instead of veal, which would be your Viennese or Wiener schnitzel, and in Italian restaurants all the time, we had the cutlets, she did the Milanese, the Parmesan, very popular, any kind of meat, pounded thin and breaded up. You could serve anywhere from simple to elegant. You know, normally just a squeeze of lemon or a little bit of arugula salad or spring mix salad, some nice bitter greens, all the way up to a fancy sauce. Or doing a, you know, put some eggplant on it and do a stacked Parmesan-type dish. Could have prosciutto pounded into the veal and then bread it. Many ways to do it. But with the pork loin, we will cut 6-ounce slices. Now, we take the loin and completely take all the fat off of it. And what's called the strap, on the thicker side of the loin, you'll see a piece there where it meets, where it would formerly have attached to the bone. And we even remove that. Now, though that cubed up or chunked up, sometimes we'll just fry that as a little snack. Sometimes we'll grind the trimmings, have some fresh ground pork, which we'll save. That can use, you know, make meatballs, you can make ragu, you could add a little fat to it and make your homemade sausage, which would be nice. But we take all the fat off, and then we cut our portions. So you cut, again, this would be where you could get this America's cut from, too. You could cut a nice 8-ounce or 9 or 10-ounce cylindrical piece out of that loin, have a nice thick steak that you could pan. I would say pan roast then, because there's no fat to kind of lubricate it on a grill. But that would be more of a saute pan roast type dish with a sauce. So we cut them, you know, 6 ounces, and then we'll butterfly through. So that means we're going to cut. We have our slice there. You stand it up on end, and then divide it in half, but don't cut all the way through the meat. Kind of open it up like a butterfly, and with the meat mallet, we'll, of course, flatten it out. And it's not really so much to tenderize it. You can use the bumpy edge if you want, but really it's more to get it to a thin, even thickness, thin thickness, right? Makes sense? To cook quickly. Now, you could grill these if you didn't want to bread them. A nice pork paillard would be fine. I would do a light marinade first, but flashed on the grill, it would probably take all of 60 seconds to cook, and serve that with your favorite salads as a nice quick dinner or lunch item. But for the schnitzel, we flatten them out, and then again, our standard breading procedure, seasoned flour, our egg wash, and then we use panko crumbs. And important for this is we don't deep fry it. And, the temptation, especially in restaurants, well, the fryer's on, it's quick. And it's, you know, it's good. It's vegetable oil. We fry them in, of course, clarified butter. Actually, it's about 2/3 clarified butter and maybe a little bit of canola oil just to help the smoke point there. But you really can tell the difference because the breadcrumbs are, you know, they're part of the dish. And they are going to soak up some of that fat that you're cooking in. So you could use olive oil if you like. Just watch, don't get it to the smoke point, because then it doesn't taste that good. The canola oil clarified butter mix works because it's a little bit kinder. If the butter gets to that point where it almost starts to brown, it still has a great flavor. So we'll fry the cutlets in the hot oil butter mixture, and then you'd like to drain them. You want to keep that crispy exterior there, and then season afterwards, and then serve with your favorite sauce or salad. As I say, if you don't like veal or iffy about using veal, of course, veal's expensive. The pork loin makes a great substitute. The pork tenderloin you could use for any veal recipe, any scallopini recipe. probably be hard-pressed to tell the difference. The pork tenderloin does not have even the as much of the inherent pork flavor as, say, the leg wood or the shoulder. So it's pretty much very adaptable. And say it's tender, it looks the same, and you could get away with, if you have some favorite veal recipes and you either don't want to buy veal or it gets too expensive, the pork tenderloin or even thin sliced pork loin would work very well. We've got to break for news at the quarter hour. We'll be back and finish up on our pork loin at Chef Bill's table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill. So your pork loin. So I guess if you're looking to buy for, your family's meal, if you have a good freezer, if you like to buy ahead and freeze or take advantage of sales, the entire pork loin, of course, gives you a variety of cuts. You could then take off your ribs. You'd have your rib end for barbecue. That's the end of the loin, and it really, you see it, it's a retail cut. So you have your pork loin with the rib side as you're getting up to the shoulder of the animal. And the rib end almost looks like a squished pork chop. It's not really nice and full and round. It's a cut that goes into the shoulder there. A little bit of bone, mostly like a strip of meat hanging off it, called country ribs or rib end for barbecue. Sometimes they're a piece of maybe two or three bones. Sometimes they're sliced. It's getting into the pork shoulder. So that's a cut that is more apt to be braised, although years ago when I had a small restaurant and I had a one-pound pork chop barbecued, and I would buy these rib end for barbecue and cut them, basically a pound. And I would roast them ahead and then sauce. It was not barbecued outside or anything like that, but I had a nice homemade sauce. And so it was a two cooking method. So I would slow roast the rib end in the oven. And then at service, I would start brushing the sauce on and then put it under the broiler. to kind of caramelize the outside. Very tender, very flavorful, and if your complaint sometimes about ribs is there's too much bone and not enough meat, if you find a rib end for barbecue would be the cut for you, because you're getting a lot of the nice meat and not too much bone. Now, sometimes you'll see a cut, sometimes it might be referred to as an Irish loin or a porchetta loin. And in many countries, the belly is left on to the loin, whether it's bone-in or boneless. Your Irish bacon, for example, you'll see it looks more like pork loin. You'll see the streaky belly part, but the main part is like a smoked pork loin. And a porchetta roast, same thing. In Italian cooking, the porchetta, even though you'll see recipes that will call maybe for using just a loin with the... You need the skin on it. That's the other thing. You need to find a butcher or a cut that has the skin left on it. You want that crispy skin. The porchetta sometimes is, it's almost like a recipe instead of a cut. But what we like to do is find the cut where the loin and the belly are attached. So it's basically like your uncured, unsmoked bacon attached to the loin. And when it's boneless, that's where you, again, make your stuffing. You lay in your oranges and your basil and garlic and roll it up so the skin is all on the outside. So you've got the fatty portion kind of wrapped around the lean portion. And then tie it and roast it, and the fat will melt some of the fat. Well, a fair amount of the fat will melt away from the bacon part, but you're still going to have that pork belly, that bacon. The can-can chop, developed at a Puerto Rican restaurant a few decades ago, I guess. I saw this thing. I saw, one of my suppliers, I get nice pork from Carolinas, North Carolina, Cheshire Farms. It's a heritage breed. It's that nice grade up from the commodity pork. And we'll get some items from them. And they do this cut. They do the porchetta cut, boneless, but they also do what's called a can-can chop, K-A-N-K-A-N. And I looked it up, and it was pretty cool. We did some. We ran them for a few weeks. So what you have is a pork loin with, you think of it as with the belly attached, but also the rib down to the belly. So it's the best of everything. You're getting loin, and you're getting some spare rib meat, and then you've got pork belly, you've got the skin. There's recipes, there's videos. We call a mojito marinade, citrus, oregano, a little olive oil, onion, garlic, some cumin. Some chefs will marinate them overnight. Some may just for a brief time. Now, the video shows a person's doing it on an outdoor grill and fairly thick. I got mine cut a little bit thinner, but still the chop is like 2.5 pounds, if you can imagine. And it's, over a foot long. We actually had to cut them to serve them or even to finish them in the fryer. If you have a chop that doesn't have the bone all the way down, it's fine. You can kind of curl it up. But otherwise, you have to cut it in two pieces. What he did was he scored the skin, because you want that to get crispy. You want little bits of what you call a chicharron. I chose to slow cook them. I marinated them overnight, slow cooked them to kind of melt some of the fat out of the belly. And in doing so, of course, I'm assuring that the loin meat's going to be tender. And then they get crisped up in the deep fryer. Now, the chef in the video, you see, they do he has a wok outside, and he's actually using rendered pork fat. But it is kind of a messy process to do inside the house. And plus, it's big. These chops, he grills them and then dumps them in the fryer. You get all crispy. The skin crisps up. It's like you're frying, pork belly's popular now. And we did we took some of the unused marinade, not the marinade that we had the meat in, but some of the same marinade, and blended it and made a aioli, if you will, or a mayonnaise out of it as a dipping sauce. because you fry these till they get crispy. So you've got the crisp outside, you've got the soft inside. Of course, a lot of the bacon fat is there, the lean and the fat, and your rib meat, and of course your crunchy skin pieces. That it's really like a, it's an all-in-one, but pretty intimidating too. It's probably meant best for sharing, but we served it. We had some people knock them down and finish them. I really enjoyed it. So with your pork loin, no matter what you do, it seems like, say, I'm partial to roasting. Even if you wanted to take a boneless piece, you could still slow cook it over your grill, or especially if you like working with hardwood or charcoal, use indirect heat. Certainly a nice slow roast would not be out of line. You've got a nice basting mop sauce, they call it. Not, you don't want to baste anything with sugar in it too early on with any barbecued meats. You want to put that toward the end. Otherwise, if the sauce is on early, it chars, it gets bitter, and it kind of insulates the meat from cooking. You really, it's self-defeating there. You actually have to cook longer if you have your sauce on first. But buying pork loin, I know I've made many quick stir fries, especially with some of the, you know, if you have a, like when we're butchering them at the restaurant, there's some pieces on the end that, you know, from the loin end, sometimes they get, there's a couple of little muscles in there. I cut them into julienne strips and lightly flour, and you can do a quick saute or a quick stir fry. Going very well now with, we have some nice julienne carrots and summer squash and zucchini with a little basil. Everything's kind of these thin strips, and then a light sauce. I use white wine. I may sprinkle a little bit of Wonder flour in the pan to thicken, but not really necessary. Add a little broth and noodles, rice. I mean, you've got a quick stir fry. Very, very lean meat from the loin cut into strips. So really get no way you can lose with a boneless pork loin. As I say, if you're not hung up on getting ribs, you want something economical, great red meat substitute with all the, you know, a lot of the benefits and not quite as many of the cautions that we have to take nowadays, might be the way to go. We've got to sign off. We're getting to the end of the hour here, and we'll be back next week thinking about 4th of July celebrations and getting into the summer fun. Into July, Pete Nurse will be back. We'll be talking about rubs and seasoning blends and things like that. So lots coming up. It's going to be a good summer. Chef Bill signing off.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Tensions rising between the U.S. and Russia as Russian officials are calling the U.S. shootdown of a Syrian warplane on Sunday an act of aggression. Here's correspondent Bill Zimfer.
Russia's deputy foreign minister is quoted by the TASS news agency as saying not only was the U.S. action an act of defiance and an act of aggression, it was also an act of assistance to terrorists. The Syrian jet was shot down Sunday after reportedly bombing U.S.-backed forces battling ISIS fighters near Raqqa.
British Prime Minister Theresa May condemning a terror attack last night on Muslim worshippers as sickening and evil.
Hatred and evil of this kind will never succeed.
One person killed, eight others injured after a man in a van plows into pedestrians as they were leaving a mosque after prayers. The driver now in custody. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is John Taffer from Bar Rescue. I've seen firsthand what restaurant owners can do with the capital to manage cash flow gaps. Cabbage is so important. Cabbage provides lines of credit of up to 1%.